Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach this morning the word of God from the scripture part that we have been reading on this day of remembering of Pentecost and also of preparation for the Lord's Supper. And the text for the sermon this morning is from Acts 2, verse 12, where we read as follows, Acts 2, verse 12, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this?" The theme for the sermon is useful doubting. 3 points of attention: outpouring, second point, amazement, and the third point, preaching. Useful doubting, 3 points: outpouring, amazement, and preaching. Beloved congregation, I've seen it many times in the Netherlands that it happened when there was something happening along the or on the freeway, when it happened on the other side, that there started to exist a traffic jam. Well, there was nothing there on that side, but still there was a traffic jam. Well, the accident or that what happened was at the other side. So, in fact, people could go on, but they didn't. What's the reason that they slowed down and that there started to exist a traffic jam? Because they wanted to know. That's how it works usually. We want to know what happens. What's happening there? Why are there so many people? And so people slow down, and it can even happen that the traffic has to stop. Well, in fact, there's no reason. Only people want to know. And that's what we see happening here in Jerusalem. In this morning of the day of Pentecost, there's something happening. And people will gather there. There's a big group of people coming together on this day of Pentecost. And it is busy in Jerusalem. Usually on those days, it is one of the three great feasts in Israel, Pentecost. What is the meaning of this feast? Pentecost is a word that in the Greek means 50 or 50th. And Pentecost is after 7 weeks after Easter. So on the 50th day after the Easter feast. And the Easter feast is the feast of the beginning of the harvest. The first beginning of the harvest. And the day of Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost, is a feast of the completion of the harvest. And it is on this day that the Lord is giving this miracle, this thing that had been expected for, by the disciples. They were praying together because the Lord Jesus had promised that he would pour out the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. But it's not only expected now for those 10 days by the disciples. It has been expected for ages. It has been in the word of God, prophesied by the prophets, that the Lord would pour out his Spirit. We can read it in the prophet Isaiah. We can read that it is promised that the Lord would pour out his Spirit like water on the dry ground. The Lord would pour it out in abundance. "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribed with his hand unto the Lord and surnamed himself by the name of Israel. And here it is. After so many years, after the Lord promised it, now it is fulfilled. And that's a special word also for the scripture part that we have been reading, that the Lord was filling with the Holy Spirit after he had fulfilled. Now he had fulfilled the promise of the prophets. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And it's not by accident that the Lord is giving this wonderful thing, this miracle of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. When the harvest, when it is remembered, when the Lord is honored, that the harvest is completed. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity that is completing, that is giving life. And now after the Lord Jesus has completed everything, has done everything that had to be accomplished to save sinners, now the Holy Spirit is poured out to apply it to the hearts, so that they will walk with the Lord, and that sinners will be saved by grace, by the payment that the Lord Jesus Christ made. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It's like a voice calling for attention. And the Lord is giving this a sound from heaven, rushing mighty wind. Then we remember that in the original languages, the word spirit and the word breath and the word wind are one and the same word. So the Spirit is coming, and there is a sign so that the people would pay attention to what is happening. The Lord is speaking in this mighty, in this sound from a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, where the disciples were sitting. The Lord is giving a sign of his own work. It's not a thing that happens in a hidden way. No, the people has to be aware of this wonder, of this miracle, that the Holy Ghost is poured out. And it can be seen, there are tongues of fire. And that's also a sign of the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit is working, he is setting people on fire. He is also, by the fire of the Spirit, he will burn out their sinful hearts and lives to purify them, to sanctify them. So the fire is a sign of the Holy Spirit, and it is seen upon the heads of the disciples. And the other thing is that they could speak, and that they were speaking in such a way that everybody could understand. And that's teaching also. The Lord is going to break through the borders, the limits of the people of the covenant, the people of Israel, so that the heathen also will hear the gospel and will be saved by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a new time starting in world history in a certain way. And maybe you have a question and say, well, was the Holy Spirit not yet there? Before the outpouring of the Spirit, was the Holy Spirit not yet there? Yes, he was. The people in the Old Testament that were saved were also saved by the work of the Holy Spirit. And we can read about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament like we have done from Isaiah. So they were saved in the same way. They were saved by Christ and his sacrifice that was powerful in his promise to come, to sacrifice himself from all eternity. It was powerful in the times of the Old Testament to save sinners by faith. Abram has seen the day of Christ and he has believed and he is saved by the work of Christ. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit that made him believe and trust and confess and fear the Lord. So the Holy Spirit was there in the days of the Old Testament. You could say, well, it was different in that way. It was different in the measure. Now the Holy Spirit is poured out in a full measure. To compare it with a thing that we will recognize from nature, you know, it can be that it is raining in a certain place for a while and it becomes wet there. And then after a while it will be raining in another place and it becomes wet there. So that's how the Holy Spirit used to work in the Old Testament, that he was working with prophets and working in a limited way with the people of Israel. But now the Holy Spirit is poured out in a full measure, like a river that is streaming through the church and through the congregation in this world, that is streaming through this world to save sinners, to bring them to Christ. Yeah, and what a powerful way it is seen on this first day of Pentecost. This spirit of completing the work by applying it. We went to Switzerland when we were in Europe, and when you go and follow the river, the Rhine, you will come to a place where it is coming from the mountains, and there where it is starting, after a while it will be very powerful. It will be so making a lot of sound, and it will even be dangerous to go in the water. It is so strong and powerful streaming there. You can hardly speak to each other. Such a power of the water is there. And it seems that you could compare it on this day of Pentecost. The work of the Holy Spirit is so powerful there. I mean, so recognizable. It is shown by signs. But if you would follow the Rhine for a long time, it comes even to the Netherlands, where it will end up in the North Sea. It's a broad river, but it's quiet. It's you can hardly see that it is streaming, but it is streaming. There's a lot of water going through it, probably much more than there at the top. But it's silent. You're not so much aware of it, but it is there, and it's powerful. It has a lot of power, although it's going quietly and more and silent. Isn't that a way to understand how the Holy Spirit is working in world history? We see in the first ages, in the first time, that the apostles were used by the Lord to do signs, to bring the work of Christ in this dark world, full of superstition and full of unbelief. And by these powerful things of extraordinary special signs and special powers of the Holy Spirit, it was breaking through the darkness of unbelief and paganism, and the gospel was going forward in this dark world. Now maybe sometimes people say, well, I would like to see those powerful things from the beginning. Well, the first thing that we can say is, it is the Lord giving it in his time and his way, and where he thinks it's necessary. I do not say that we don't have to search our hearts to see if we are expecting enough from the Lord. That's good. But do not deny the work of the Lord in our days. Do not deny that the Lord, do not be blind for the work of the Lord in our days. How the Lord is still working in this world. And maybe we have to admit that we in the Netherlands and in the United States turn our backs more and more to the Lord, so that we see less and less of the light of the gospel. But still we hear those wonderful and powerful things in the United States, but also in other parts of the world, how many are touched by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like that wide and broad river and containing so much water. In world history, the work of the Lord and of the Spirit is still continuing. Let us not deny that and dishonor the Lord. Oh, what a day. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So long expected. And now the time of the Lord is there. How is it with you? On this day of Pentecost and this day of preparatory for the Holy Lord's Supper, we all know that we need the Holy Spirit. And we all know the promises of the Lord about the Holy Spirit. That the Lord is saying it so nice, so powerful, so lovely, that He is willing to give the Holy Spirit much more than a father would be willing to give his son bread when he is begging, asking for that. He will not give him a stone. And much less would the Lord refuse to give the Holy Spirit for those that cry out for that day and night. You see the need of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have that expectation, and now you see how the Lord is fulfilling it here on the day of Pentecost, and He is still fulfilling it. I'm not saying that Pentecost is repeated, but you know, the result of Pentecost is still happening in personal lives of people, of young people and older people in our days. And I have expectation, because the Lord is the same and the Holy Spirit is powerful and is still touching and changing hearts. Although I know the resistance of natural heart, the rebellion of our sinful hearts, and I know as Satan is going around like a roaring lion, I know how strong the temptation is of this world. The spirit of this world is so strong. Young people, all the people, oh, watch, pray against the snares and tricks of Satan and the temptation of the world and sin. But have expectation of the Lord. He can keep you. And if you are caught up in a certain sin, maybe even as an addiction in your life, the Lord is powerful to make you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. It's giving amazement among the people. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? They were in doubt. Is it good to doubt? Isn't it wrong to doubt? It is wrong to doubt the Lord. The Lord is so faithful, has shown in so many ways that He is there and that He is to be trusted. Oh, it's a sin to doubt Him, to doubt His word, to doubt about the working of the Holy Spirit. But it's not wrong to doubt about yourself. It's not wrong to doubt about your own opinions, your own understandings. That's what's happening here. They were amazed and were in doubt. They didn't understand it. They had their own thoughts, their own opinion, their own way of life, their own religion, and their own, and it gave them some rest in their lives. They thought, well, we are people of the covenant. We belong to the people of God, and we are living a pretty good life. We try to keep the laws, and that's how they lived. And now something has happened that they didn't understand, and they were amazed, and they started doubting. And isn't that many times the beginning of the working of the Lord in your heart, when you start to doubt your own natural way of life, how religious it can be, that you start to doubt it. Am I right? Is my life according to the Word of God? Do I know the Holy Spirit? Do I know the work of God? How can I be saved? How can I be forgiven? Isn't that a way that you start to seek and to search your heart and life? And isn't that very useful to do that? Oh, it's wrong if we have rest in a life without Christ. If we live in a restful way without knowing Christ paid for my sins, we are in such a dangerous situation. You are sleeping in a ship that is in danger. Every moment you could drown, could die. So awake, start to doubt yourself, your own old way of living. Search it in the light of the Word. Seek that assurance worked by the Holy Spirit. They were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Asking questions. What does it mean? What is the work of the Holy Spirit? How can I receive it? How can I have assurance? You cannot have rest if you don't have that sure and secure foundation in your life of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is by the work of the Holy Spirit that you will find it. They were all amazed and were in doubt. Yeah, the Lord knows ways to shake your life, to make you ask questions while you are still young. Didn't things happen in your life that shaped your life? A certain sad thing, an accident, you were very sick, you were in danger. Wasn't it the Lord shaking your life, making you cry out for the Lord, making you asking questions to yourself, to the Word, to find the right way? They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Yeah, this doubt will be used by the Lord to give them assurance, to give them the knowledge of Christ, to give them the knowledge of forgiveness of sin. Yeah, so we should not doubt. We do not have to doubt Christ and His Word. No, that is true. But we have to doubt ourselves and our own way of thinking, our own thoughts, because then we will compare them to the Word. And then we will kneel down and pray for the light of the Holy Spirit, so that we will be enlightened and that we will know whom Christ is. So there's a wrong doubting, and Paul is writing about the wrong doubting when he's writing in the letter to the Galatians. He says, who is making you restless, taking away the rest that you had in Christ by teaching that you had to add anything for your salvation, that there is circumcision needed to save you. This can happen. Sometimes people come to you and say, well, you have to do this, you have to do that. If it is not like this, they can make you desperate. I know, I've seen it. Can make you so, bring you so much in darkness. When they throw you upon yourself to seek a foundation in yourself, in your own efforts, in your own work. That's wrong. That's the wrong doubting. It's making restless in a wrong way, taking away the rest, the peace that is in Christ. But if people take away the rest that you found outside of Christ, that you thought, well, I lived a very good life. I did everything I had to do. Sometimes people think, well, if I go to church twice at Sunday, Lord's Day, that's what I have to do, and that is true. And if I read my Bible daily, that's what I have to do, and that is true. If I even meditate upon it, and if I pray daily, more than once, regularly, and if I give money to the church and money to the mission, and if I am loving to my neighbors, and if I am earnest, and if I do my job as good as I can, and do my studies as good as I can, but then I've done everything I can do. I cannot do anything more. I cannot convert myself. I cannot save myself. So now I can have rest. And that is deceiving yourself. You cannot have rest if you are outside of Christ. You understand that? Oh, you need the light of the Holy Spirit to bring you to Christ. And He is to be found. He promised that. He said, if you would knock at a door, I will open the door. He said, if you will seek, you will find me. So you cannot have rest with anything else than knowing Christ Himself as your Savior, as your Redeemer, as your Lord. Oh, I hope you have that knowledge in your heart. As a work of the Spirit. Can you explain it? No, not totally. But oh, it would be so good if you can speak about it. To give a testimony to your family, to others. I'm preaching to myself. And now we are in a week of preparation of the Lord's Supper. So search your heart. It is for those that believe in the Lord, that know the Lord. I'm not talking about a measure of assurance. Even the smallest faith, the smallest true faith is saving faith. Well, there is still a lot that you have to learn. The smallest true faith in your heart is saving. And the Lord will teach you and guide you to know Him more. Yeah, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. That Spirit that is poured out. You will never be satisfied about yourself if you walk with the Lord. But you will also never be ashamed about the Lord and about the Holy Spirit. He is so faithful and so long-suffering, so patient, so forbearing, so gracious. So forgiving. How is it in your heart? Do you see that you are a sinner? Do you see that? Not in a general way, but you personally. If you say yes, then I could ask you, well, I will not do that. And even there's no need to tell everything to me. But I could ask you, well, tell me, what are your sins? Would you need a lot of time to think about that? Do you see your sins, your curse? If you see it in a way that it is humbling your heart, and make you cry out and flee to Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, making you aware of your misery so that you cannot live without Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You can see something of your sin making you feel bad because you are disappointed about yourself, or desperate, like we can read those examples of Cain in Scripture. Now, that's not the work of the Holy Spirit working savingly in you. But do you see your sin, your curse, what you deserve, in such a way that it makes you feeling your need of Christ, coming to Christ, humbling you, kneeling down, so that you confess, and that you see, and that you say, "Oh Lord, I am that sinner. It's not my neighbor, but it's me." That's what a form of the administration of the Lord's Supper is speaking about. This week we should search our hearts for this, to see our curse and misery. And that's painful, that's sad. But also to search our heart, is there that trust that the Lord is forgiving? What a miracle! Forgiving my sins! Would a man ever do that? Forgive so many sins as I have done? God is doing that. That's a clear teaching of the Word. That's what the Holy Spirit is teaching people. And then, if you know that, it has to change your life. It will change your life. It cannot be different. If I, such a wretched sinner, am forgiven, oh Lord, Thou art so good, Thou art so worthy to receive my whole life. And then everybody can be saved. And then I want everybody to be saved. And I can sit next or under everybody. The Lord is giving me such a low thinking about myself. That's the fruit of the work of the Spirit. And then I want to live in unity with everybody. I want to forgive everybody who's done wrong to me, because the Lord has forgiven me much more. What a life. What a life of peace, isn't it? What a light in your heart. The Son of Righteousness, Christ, shining in your heart. Oh, boys and girls, you cannot find this in the world. You can find it here. Did you find it? I'd like to give it to you. The Lord wants it. Is willing to apply it to your heart. Oh, there is so much love in Christ. You are not too bad for Him. There's so much power in His blood. Did you see it? Do you believe it? Trust this word of God. So, oh, what a useful doubting. Because then there is room for preaching, for teaching. That's what Peter is going to do. Some are mocking. Oh, don't do that. Don't mock the work of God, the Word of God. There can be pressure in this world to do that, or to keep silence when they are doing that around you. It's difficult for you, young people, maybe, if you are experiencing peer presence. And some are mocking, but then to be honest and not to join them. Would be great if you received the courage and the wisdom to stop it. In a loving way, in an honest way. It's Satan here making some mocking, so that the work of the Spirit would not be seen and would not be recognized. These men are full of new wine. Yeah, where the Spirit is working, There is something of that joy, but it's real joy, not the joy of a drunkard. Something of that seeing that everything is possible. But then, really, it is. Because if we are full of that spirit, we will expect everything from Christ. And a drunkard will think that he can do everything sometimes, but he cannot. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, dear, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken. And he's starting to preach. And there's room. People are doubting their old way of life. And now they are open for the teaching of the word, the preaching of the word. We can be so closed. The doors of our hearts can be so closed. We have our settled opinions. We have our own way of seeing things. We are not open to change it, to let it be changed by the word of God. Even in the church can be like that. But oh, where the Holy Spirit is shaking our lives and making us amazed and doubting our old way of seeing things. There's room, space, an opening for preaching. And he starts to preach. And how does he preach? We can learn from that. Well, he's opening the Old Testament. So where the Lord is working, shaking you, making you asking questions, he will also teach you from the word. We need that. It's not only emotions, but the Lord will work a strong foundation from the word. It's written there. That's what Peter is doing. He's taking them to the word. Our emotions will change, but the word of God is unchangeable. So he's taking them to the word, to the Old Testament. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. There will such a general insight and knowledge of the work of God by the Holy Spirit among young people and old people. Yeah. Yeah, Peter says, this is it. This is that which was spoken. Now he is seeing it. Yeah, we will always continue to learn. Things will happen and then I will see by the light of the Holy Spirit. But it's according to the word. This is what is written in the word. Peter is seeing it by the light of the Spirit and preaching it. So that the people will be founded in the word. That's a lasting foundation. When your emotions are gone, when your feelings are not experienced, the word is still there. And oh, that the Lord will give you such a deep faith that even in times of darkness and not feeling things, you will trust him upon his word, and in his time he will give the fruit of experiencing and feeling it. That's not the foundation. Don't turn things. It is in Christ, like he is revealed in the word. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Taking the word, explaining it, teaching it, applying it to Christ, drawing a line to Christ, and then accusing them, showing them their guilt. This is what you have done. That's a way of preaching. That is Peter is doing it. And the Lord is blessing it so much. By the power of the Holy Spirit, giving a testimony about Christ, making people to see the guilt. And oh, that's fruitful. Then they start to cry out what they have to do. And then there is the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe. And they are saved. 3,000 by the preaching of the word and the work of the Holy Spirit. And God is the same. It's the same God. It might be that the river is streaming in a more silent way, but the Lord is doing it in our days. Did he do it in your heart? Did you come to that point that you had to admit, yes, it are my sins that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my guilt that you had to die at the cross, that you humbled yourselves. Yeah. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So they had sinned against God. That's our guilt. We have sinned against God. And one day we have to stand before this God. We cannot. We cannot exist before God. Except if our hearts are changed. If we have that living faith. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. The hearts were pierced by the word of God. So all the pride is going away. It's like a ball, a balloon that's coming empty. Nothing left. They felt so big before. They were the good covenant people. And now there they are. They are sinners. They did the most bad thing you ever can do. They crucified Christ. It's about me. Oh, how painful to see that. How good to admit, to acknowledge it. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They are in such a useful doubting. They don't know anymore how to do. They're always known to walk their way. They thought, well, we are doing fine. But now they see they are lost. I'm lost. I have to be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, isn't that a powerful gospel? For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So, repent and be baptized. Yeah, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's pointing them to the promise. And that's what faith is resting in. God has promised it. I cannot understand it. I do not deserve it. But God has promised it. And that's what the Holy Spirit is using. Their guilt is shown. But also the promise is shown. So that they come. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Save yourself from this untoward generation. It means turning your back to the world. To the sinful generation we are living among. To walk in the light of the Lord, to be different from the world. Yeah, so is it there in your life? Did the Lord change you in such a way, humble you to show your sinfulness, show you the promise in Christ, rest in Him, and then that new desire, how weak those things might be, He is so faithful and good to strengthen it. And you are so welcome at the table of the Lord. If you need this work, strengthen it in your life. Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, almighty and gracious God, we come to Thee to thank Thee for Thy word. Bless it to our hearts, O Lord, that we might walk in Thy ways, in Thy paths. Be with us this day. Lord, forgive us all our sins. We are so corrupt inside. We are so dark inside and so deceitful hearts we have. But oh, the word is so strong, so powerful, and the Holy Spirit is there, poured out in a full measure and working also in our days, so that none of us would be lost for all eternity, O Lord. Bless this word, forgive everything that's not according to Thine holy will, and Lord, bring us together in Thy house this evening again, to hear the word, and, O Lord, give us the help of the Holy Spirit. We thank Thee that many young people could have their graduation this week behind. Bless them in their young lives. O Lord, guide them when they will go to colleges and universities or have a job in society, and we live in a godless society, more and more godless way of thinking is there at the universities and at the colleges, and so we need so much the protection of the Holy Spirit and of the Word. And Lord, give it to us so that we will be saved and glorify Thee. And Lord, we owe that we as parents and as young people and all those, that we might trust in Thee. Thou art the only one who can keep us from joining the sinful ways of the world. O Lord, that will end up in eternal damnation. Oh, what an awful thought it is. Well, the way of salvation is shown to us so clear, so open, so rich. Apply it, O Lord. Forgive us. Bless us with the light of the Holy Spirit. Be with us. We thank Thee. Thou art worthy to receive all the glory and all the praise in all eternity. For Christ's sake, amen.